Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's really good to have your Emmanuel College fellows with us. Really appreciate that. If you are new to church in Dirranbandi today, whether it be Emmanuel College or locally, welcome. It's really great to have you here. Just excuse me while I get this right. I just got to... We've been working our way through the book of Romans. And book of Romans is a little bit hard. It's one of my favourite books, actually. But at first, it's a little bit hard to read because there's a lot of big words in it. But today, we're going to move through it a little bit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're in control of this universe. I thank you that you uphold the universe by your word and by your power. This morning I pray for our hearts as we get to the core of this gospel message. Give us not only the ability to understand it, but the faith to really believe it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed that Aussies hate people who boast? Have you noticed that? I reckon out here in the bush we hate it even more. We really do. People that are boastful, that's just not the go. Have you also noticed? Have you also noticed that we actually in little ways we actually do like to boast a little bit? Even though we really, really hate it, we actually do like to boast a little bit. I mean, I can remember when I was a bit younger and a bit slimmer and a bit fitter, I can remember walking past a shop window and you see the reflection in the window and you look and you go, not bad, you know? Now, ChatGPT calls it humble bragging. You can look it up. By the way, did you notice what I did just there? Just threw in ChatGPT. Like I'm pretty cool, right? Like I can use chat. A bit of humble bragging. That's what humble bragging is. And it seems like we've got this underlying desire to brag. And in the reading this morning, if Sal, you've got it up there, yep, it says, what is of our boasting? It's excluded. Bang. Done. Shot. Dead. Paul also talks about it in Galatians 6:14. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ our Lord. So why is boasting so toxic? You see, salvation is all about what God does and nothing about what we do. So when we boast, we actually attack the core of our salvation. You see, salvation's a gift. It's not something we earn. Now, this idea that Paul's putting forward here this morning is what actually some of the reformers back in the 1300s, 1400s, 1500s were actually killed for their faith for. And this is what the Reformation was all about. And follow me with on the screen, or if you've got your own Bibles there, Romans 3, 27 to 29. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Does it say law? Yep. Now, you could say, what kind of principle? What kind of principle excludes our boasting? By the principle of works? No. But by the law or the principle of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now, works of the law isn't works of the principles there, it's works of the laws of God. And this is the key verse for today. It's the gospel in a nutshell. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Just a little bit of word explanation here. And if you're new in church, if you're new to reading the Bible, I encourage you to read the book of Romans. But it's good to know what these words mean. Justified is a word that means declared righteous. If you are righteous, you are morally virtuous. Yeah? The opposite of righteous would be unrighteous, would be wicked. Now, if you can imagine a courtroom scene where you stand before the judge, who's about to bring a verdict, and he can only bring one of two judgments, can't he? Is you are justified or you're guilty. Now, if you've been with us through the last few months, you'll know that Paul spent the first three chapters of Romans showing us that all of mankind is guilty, not just some of us. Romans 3, 10 to 12, it says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. That's the charge against the whole of mankind. We don't seek after God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So we've learned that we are all sinners that deserve the wrath and the just punishment of God. Because in Romans 1, 18, we suppress the truth about who God is. We don't seek him, we've just read. And in Romans 3, 11, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we all are guilty. But we are justified. We are declared innocent. Not because the judge thinks it's just a good idea, but because someone else has stepped into our place and taken the punishment for us. We're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:23. And so today we learn that justification is by faith, apart from works of the law. When the Bible talks about the law, it's talking, generally we're talking about the first five books, right? If you want to just condense that a bit, we can condense that back down to the Ten Commandments. You all heard of the Ten Commandments? Yeah, in Deuteronomy. Jesus condensed it even further. He condensed it into two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. He said that the law and the prophets all hang on those two commandments. So that means the law is beautiful, isn't it? It means it's good. A love for God and a love for one another. But obeying the law has no part in us being justified before the judge. Our good works, our good deeds, all of our very best efforts can't even contribute at all towards right standing with God. We're made righteous before God by faith alone. Faith is a word, it simply means trust. If you get faith in someone, you trust them. By trusting in Jesus and only trusting in Jesus, you can be saved. Amen. Now, there's some people that struggle with this truth. Paul is saying that we're justified by faith apart from works of the law, not together with works of the law. It means that obeying the Ten Commandments won't add to your righteousness. Good deeds can't add to your goodness. Have a look at verse 30. The Jews who had obeyed the law of God, together with the uncircumcised Gentiles who had no law, so one group had the law, one group didn't have the law, God justifies both through faith. When God considers you for salvation, he actually doesn't look at your works at all. The reason is because your works are not the solution, your works are the problem. If he looks at your works, he has to judge you according to them. You can choose to go that way. Wouldn't recommend it. The other day, in the context of marriage, I said that marriage is like a seesaw with Jesus standing at the fulcrum. Vanessa loves that saying. She keeps reminding me about it. Marriage is like that. Salvation is not like that. Good deeds don't balance out bad deeds. If they did, it would mean that I could kill someone and I could go and give a bunch of flowers to somebody else and that would even it out. We know a just judge would never allow that. Salvation is about trusting that the punishment that Jesus took on our behalf did what he said it would do. It paid for our sin. Paul, in trying to prove this point in the reading today, he goes to the Old Testament to reinforce his point. Now, I want you to see that as we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the basis of salvation has not changed. Okay, God didn't change his mind. It's always been by faith. It was never about works. Firstly, to Abraham in chapter 4, what shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And this little bit, he quotes Genesis 15, verse 6. He says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham had righteousness kind of credited to him, like credit from a bank, because of his believing, not because of his doing. Now, I want to be clear about a couple of things that Paul isn't saying here. He's not saying that Abraham believed that he was righteous and therefore he was righteous. That kind of makes sure. Since Abraham didn't believe really hard that he was going to stop sinning, and therefore God said, ha, someone who's righteous, I'll accept you. No. Neither is he saying that God lowered the bar. He's not saying that in the Old Testament you had to be righteous, but in the New Testament you just got to have faith. He's not saying that. God never changes. Both the Old Testament people and the New Testament people, that's us, both require faith and not works. The second thing that Paul does is he uses the example of King David in the Old Testament. And up there in verses 7 and 8, they actually come from Psalm 32. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, I'm just starting at verse 5, so, is faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Is King David saying that? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Our salvation and our faith are a gift from God. It's called grace. It's undeserved. We don't deserve it. Paul insists that salvation's for the one who did not work for it, but the one who simply believed God. Does that get under your skin just a little bit? To think that God is a God who justifies ungodly people. that lawless deeds are forgiven and that your sins can just be covered over. I think that if you think that you deserve the grace and forgiveness of God, it'll get under your skin to see somebody else who gets forgiven. It'll grind your gears. But when you see that you are just as big a sinner as the next person, you realise that you need grace just as much as they do. There's a line in a song that we sing and it says, "My sins, they are many, his mercy is more." Some of you guys come out to our farm yesterday. That was pretty good. You saw lots of things.
Day before.
Day before? Okay. Yeah. Yesterday was a bit of a blur for me. Maybe you remember seeing a big stack of wheat. Anyone remember seeing a big stack of wheat under a cover? Yep. You know, when I think about our sins being covered, I think of that big stack of wheat. You know there's wheat under there, and you couldn't see it. That tarp over the top is like God saying, "I've got you covered." Do you know that in that stack, that one closest to where you were standing, there is 1.1 trillion grains of wheat in that stack? Okay, that's 1,100,000 million grains. I didn't count them. I'm just kind of... I know how many's in a tonne, roughly. We worked it out. Yeah.
You sit there counting your
grains. I don't count them.
Is that why yesterday was a blur?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I had to get it right. To the nearest... No. So, you know, if that was my sin... That's a lot. But if that is my sin and I trust in Jesus, they're all forgiven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He's got them covered. Wow. That's grace. If you trust in Jesus, doesn't that knowledge give your heart a lot of peace? If you don't trust in Jesus, you should. I want you to ask yourself the question, if you were to die today and you had to stand before God, why should he let you into heaven? If he asked you, what would you say? And there's probably really only two answers for this question. The first answer could be because I have done something. Yep. Because I've done those deeds, because I've gone to church, because I've been on a mission trip to Dirranbandi. Maybe I've even been somewhere more important on a mission trip. Because I played in a worship team, because I cleaned someone's backyard, because I helped the poor. Maybe because my mum and dad is a Christian. That's answer number one. Answer number two would be because Jesus has done. The first one is trusting in our own works. It's really boasting. The second one is trusting in what Jesus has done for us. That's the path of humility. I'd like to address two possible questions that can arise from this passage today. Firstly, it's in verse 31. Does faith overturn the law? Does it overthrow the law? Does faith nullify the law? Because sometimes the law gets a bit of a dirty press in church, doesn't it? Yeah. But Paul says, no. By no means. We uphold the law. Let me ask you a question. Does trusting God mean that you no longer care about what God cares about? No. You love what God cares about. We love God. The things of God are what we care about. So no, we uphold the law. The second question is an objection to justification by faith alone. And you need to know about this objection because one day someone's going to ask you about it. And if you don't know about it, you might be tempted to go back to work for your salvation. And that's really the same thing as throwing it away altogether. The objection comes from James chapter 2. Sal's going to put it up on the screen. On the surface, it'll seem as if the book of James and the book of Romans are at odds, that they're saying opposite things. It'll seem like that. Is it faith alone? Or is it not by faith alone? Let's read it together. See what you think. Verse 14, please, sir. Chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. That seems like they disagree, hey? On the surface. I think as we dig a little bit deeper, we can see that James is dealing with a different issue to what Paul is dealing with in Romans. Paul is dealing with the issue, how are we saved? How are you put righteous before God? Paul says, trust in Jesus and trust in nothing else. Faith alone through Christ alone. James is dealing with a different question. How do you know if faith is real or fake? Is your faith dead or alive? Paul's talking about a faith that really trusts, that really hangs on to Jesus. James, on the other hand, is talking about a very, very casual type of faith. And I reckon a lot of us have seen that. It says, I believe in Jesus, but we just continue to walk the other way. Demonstrating all the while that our faith actually isn't faith. It's dead. That sort of faith is lip service, isn't it? As we read the book of James in context, he spells out all the way through what dead faith looks like. In chapter 3, he says, dead faith's got no restraint on your tongue. In chapter 4, dead faith embraces worldliness and boasts about tomorrow. There's that boasting again. And in chapter 5, he talks about that dead faith uses wealth like as if this life is all there is. So James' question, can that type of faith save you, means that he agrees. Salvation's by faith alone. But real faith that saves. I think this is a great thing for us all to consider. How we put our faith in Jesus. Is it real? John Calvin quoted, he says, "It is therefore faith alone which justifies. And yet, the faith which justifies is never alone. It's always accompanied by some actions." If someone asks me, "Do you have to do good works to be saved?" I say no. But they'll come. A changed heart will cause a change in behaviour. So, in conclusion, if you come here today and if you thought that Christianity was about doing good things to please God so that he will accept you and have right standing before you, I hope this morning I've changed your mind about that. Our God is a God who saves the ungodly by faith alone. It's not about your gifts, it's not about your service, it's not about going to church. It's not about having that picture-perfect family with the lawn and the cars and having all your ducks in a row. It's simply about trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And the scripture today says, that makes you blessed. That's a true blessing. That's the best blessing in life. So, if you're a Christian and maybe you've been subtly or subconsciously offering to God your works as a way of better standing, if you've been, you know, a little bit of humble bragging, let's repent of that. Righteousness is only through faith alone in Christ alone. Faith apart from works. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, please consider this deeply. If you sense today that God's knocking on the door of your heart this morning and you'd like to open the door today, I want you to do two things. In a minute, I want you to silently pray with me as I pray from here. And the second thing I want you to do is I want you to tell somebody. I want you to tell me or another Christian, a committed Christian, because we want to support you on your journey of faith. If you embark on that journey, it doesn't mean it's easy and you need help. Let's pray. Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask your forgiveness. I believe in Jesus Christ, your Son. I believe that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. I want to trust him as my Lord and Saviour. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Please send your Holy Spirit to fill me, to guide me, and to remind me that I am your child forever. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.